to the Pursuit Podcast.
That's supposed to be my line.
Oh.
I'm supposed to say, welcome back to the Pursuit.
Bobby Newport.
Greatest show
never
on earth.
Worked a day in his life.
Bobby Newport.
Bobby Newport.
Okay. Dumbest thing.
It's funny because of the switch in, like, I don't know, like, my last video was so, like.
Your last episode,
hello,
you mean?
And welcome to the Pursuit. My last what? What'd I say?
You said video.
My last video.
My last video podcast, that I ever made, ever.
My last podcast episode, it was like all serious and quiet, which isn't bad. But then we jump into it with
Bobby Newport.
So many of you may be wondering who my beautiful voiced guest is. My beautifully voiced guest. Who are you?
Just
small town girl.
Small town girl in a lonely world. Wait. Something, something.
So my guest today is Aurora McCausland. My sister, my wife.
That's gross disgusting and uncomfortable.
Aurora, my wife. Also, if you're a musician, hit me up for that musical feature. You may have heard a little snippet of today's song, which is going to play later. I'm super excited to share it with you.
Do you know what song it is?
I do know what song it is. I'm just, like, building suspense. They don't get to know what the song is.
I like the suspense.
Yeah. Anyway, let's cut to the chiggity
shays.
So, I have Aurora on the podcast today because, Aurora, what do you do full-time other
mom.
Than being mom?
Oh. I am a full-time content creator and influencer on Instagram, mainly.
I like content creator better. I feel like content creator is a better word.
Yeah, but it technically is like a different job title.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so a content creator doesn't necessarily post on their Instagram a lot. Like,
is influencer specific to Instagram?
No, I think you can be an influencer on a different platform, but usually, like, if you're on YouTube, you're a YouTuber. If you're on, I mean, I think you can be an influencer on Twitter.
Yeah, but I don't really see them, though. But maybe I just don't follow anybody.
I don't really either.
I feel like it's kind of more like you're just somebody who has a lot of followers on Twitter. Like, you're just a famous Twitter
person.
I
rarely see.
I'm pretty sure that's what most people call them, is, like, famous
Twitter famous people.
Yeah, Twitter famous.
So,
Twitter
influencer, famous. I feel like, is mainly, like, on Instagram, because then you have, like, bloggers.
Okay.
Vloggers, all that.
I personally
TikTokers
prefer
now.
To call myself a content creator.
Well, but you are That's a content probably... creator. You create content. But a content creator mainly, like, creates content for other brands to use for their own purposes, and they don't post it on their own feeds.
Oh.
So they are two separate job titles.
Interesting. I kind of equate them the same, but maybe
yeah,
that's
a lot
me.
Of people do, but I don't know. I've kind of warmed up to the title influencer. I don't cringe as much as I used to at that title.
Hmm. Well... No, that's...
So that's what I am.
So that's all. That's... I think I make that joke every episode. That's the whole episode. Okay, so you are an influencer, and I guess the main thing that I wanted to talk to you about today would be about I guess being authentic as an influencer, because I think a lot of people see influencers as just like advertisement central or I'm living a fake life and I don't actually have all this money, but I'm going to pretend that I have a ton of money. Or even if they do have all that money, all they do is just like show off all the time. And it's kind of like makes people feel bad about their lives. So there's a lot of negative vibes towards influencers because of those things.
Yeah.
And I think that there's two camps in influencer, in the influencer career, that there are people who are non-genuine and non-authentic, and they're just doing it for the money, and they're just doing it for the free stuff or for brand deals or whatever.
The clout.
Yeah, or the fame. And then there's people who are doing it for, like, the passion of it, like you actually really like to do it, and also maybe the passion that you have for other people's brands, like you jump on board with somebody and you're like super excited about what they have done.
Yeah.
You look really tired.
The wine is hitting me.
The wine.
But I'm good.
You just look like you're gonna fall asleep on me for a second. So yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, but I wanted you to kind of introduce yourself and talk a little bit about you and what you do and what you love and your life. So take it away.
Hello. So I'm Aurora. I, like Seth said, I'm a content creator and an influencer. I'm a mom. I have two kids with Seth.
Oh, good.
They are his, confirmed.
Confirmed. I think we've done DNA tests, but pretty sure.
pretty
sure.
I mean, I'd have to be the Virgin Mary if it was anything else. Anyway, so I'm really sorry if you have to cut a bunch of stuff out.
I'm not planning on it.
Okay. So what I like to do, what I do, do you want me to like talk about how I became an influencer, or do you want me to just like talk about how much I love
plants and baking? So let's start with, personal stuff. What do you love?
I love plants and baking.
You love plants and baking. That stuff kind of makes it into your social media channels, but not as much because it's kind of like...
Those are like my things that I... Yeah. They're like mine, and I don't like to really... I don't mind talking about plants because that's not... That's like, I don't know, a little bit different, and it's not as time-consuming of a hobby, I guess. Because it's
fun to tell people.
Yeah, but
that.
Like baking, in order to share anything in regards to baking would be so much work, and it's mine. So I don't talk
yours.
About it.
Baking is a secret.
It's my secret.
I don't know.
I also really like yoga. Yoga's fun.
You spend your days being a mom.
I spend my days being a mom, and then whenever my kids are napping, I will turn on reality TV and work while reality TV plays in the background, and I eat lunch. That's my days. So it's mom, reality TV during my break, mom.
What do you do on the weekends?
I work.
You work?
Yeah.
We don't do anything fun.
I work.
Really the only thing I can think of that we actually do other than just like taking the time to like relax is go get coffee. It's like what we
That's
always
true.
Do on the
weekends. When we want to unwind, we go to a cafe as a family.
Which is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is fun, yeah, because Bastion, our son, really loves going to get coffee. And
it's not
so
actually coffee.
Right. His is just steamed milk, but neither is ours.
Great.
No, but he loves it, and so it's always a fun little outing for us to go do as a family. But yeah, we spend the majority of our time working.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, so tell the audience about your influencer stuff. What is that?
Do you want me to start at the beginning?
Yeah. Give us a little like backstory on how you became an influencer and like what is the reason that you're doing this.
So Seth and I actually were talking about this like less than an hour ago.
Really?
Just about how not the reason I became an influencer, but I had like 200 followers.
Oh,
and
yeah,
Seth
we
had
were
like
about
Seth
this.
Had like 400 followers.
It's because we're on TikTok now.
Yes.
And I have more followers than you for the first time in a really long time. You have more followers than me on Twitter too.
I do.
And Facebook.
Probably.
I deleted my Facebook.
That's true. I think I passed you on Twitter like 6 months ago.
Yeah, it was a while
it was
ago.
It was that skincare tweet that I made that like
this is true.
One weekend Seth was working late and I was on Instagram and I realized that Seth had more followers than me, like double, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna get more followers than Seth. So I did.
Double meaning like I had 400, you had 200.
Yeah, yeah, but I was like, I'm gonna get more followers than Seth because that would make me feel good about myself and it would be fun. And like I have nothing to do because I
well you just would stay at home. Well, you were working.
I was working, but I worked
you were
normal
hanging
hours
out with
our dog
at night whenever I was like
right.
working at the restaurant.
So,
I
did a bunch of Googling and research to like figure out how to gain followers on Instagram. And I started like putting more effort into the photos that I took and I started posting more consistently and slowly grew my following from that 200 to my 56,000 now. Over the last 4 years.
So how did it like go from I just kind of want to like have more followers than my husband because I think it'd be fun to try to do that
mm-hmm.
to like this my is career. Like my job, and I'm like excited about it most of the time. I'm passionate about it. I want to do it.
So for me, it was definitely an evolution because, like I said in the beginning, it really was kind of just this competition for me because I am very competitive. I am very competitive, but I think that as I was trying to gain more followers, and I, you know, started taking better photos, I started to really enjoy that. In high school, I was a photographer. And so it wasn't like super unnatural for me. And I think I picked that up on that pretty quickly. And so I was able to transition from like really shitty photos. Am I allowed to say shitty on your podcast? Okay. I was able to transition from like bad, bad photos to, I mean, they still were bad, but they were notably better than they were before pretty easily. And I was able to like gain inspiration from people that I enjoyed following and was able to kind of figure out what I like to post that way. And so I started having a lot of fun because I had like a reason and an excuse to get dressed up and take pictures or whatever. And then from there, I realized about 6,000 followers in that I could get free things.
Oh, man.
Which I think is something that a lot of people realize.
Yeah.
I mean, now everyone knows. And so I see all the time, like the other day on Twitter, I saw someone tweet like, you know, do people still buy followers? And also, how many followers do you think I need for companies to start sending me stuff for free? And I almost got in my soapbox, but I didn't know her.
It's a realization everybody has, and it's extremely... Like, it's an extremely tempting reason, obviously, because, I mean, like,
Who doesn't want to get free things?
Who doesn't want free stuff, or who doesn't want to get paid to, like, do something as simple as taking a picture,
quote-unquote,
as simple as taking
a picture? Well, and the thing is that when you are on that other side of it, it does seem so simple, and it seems so, like, non-committal, and it just is like, I get all of these things for free, and you know, and it's not hard, And so, yeah, so I started, at the time I was also writing for an online magazine that had a pretty big readership, and I think that in conjunction with my Instagram was what helped me, because I started writing articles for this online magazine that would include products that I could also post about on my Instagram story, on my Instagram page, and so I would reach out to companies and be like, hey, if you send me this product for this specific article that I'm writing, I'll also post about it on my Instagram. And so I was able to gain credibility that way. Yeah. And I remember in the height of that, came home from work one day to like 15 packages on our doorstep. And it was when I was writing that subscription box article.
The subscription box phase was interesting.
And I was over the moon. I was like, I have made it. I am famous. I will never have to buy a single thing ever again. And it was a lot of fun. And then I realized how much work it was. And because the thing is that people don't just send you stuff, no strings attached.
Yeah.
I mean, they do. You get to a point where some people will send you stuff, no strings attached.
And usually in at hopes. This point, like where you hit that point where people are sending you things and you don't have to put that much thought into it and it's super exciting and you're loving it. Shortly after that, when you hit the point where you realize you have to work, and also that, like, that's because after like a month or so of that, I don't think it will be as exciting anymore. And it wasn't. Like,
oh, I still get so excited when I get
stuff.
Well,
I know it's exciting, but I'm saying like it's different because you're excited about like what you can create and not so much that you're excited about just getting something.
Right.
And so because a lot of people drop off at that point.
They because, do.
And I think that's why you don't see like literally everyone doing this.
Right.
Is because they try it for a minute because they want the stuff and it's a it's a bad motivation.
Yes.
And then they get to a point where that bad motivation isn't going to get you as far.
No. Right? Well, and the thing is that because you'll, I mean, I see it all the time. I have so many friends and have had friends who have decided they want to be influencers. And, you know, they'll come to me and ask for advice and I give them advice. And like I had one friend that would constantly, for the last few years, would ask for like contacts, you know, of people that I'd worked with before. And I always willingly give them to her because, I mean, because I was, you know, I'm not going to hoard those, but also because I knew she was never going to, I knew she was never going to do anything with it. But because when you email a company and you're like, hey, I'd like for you to send me some free things, they're going to be like, okay, this is what we expect in return. And especially if you're inexperienced, they're going to ask for a lot. And so someone's going to be like, yeah, I'll send you one shirt that costs us $6. And in return, I want 3 Instagram posts and a 5-frame Instagram story. And also, can you do an entire YouTube video? And when you have 3,000 followers and you don't know how much work that is, you're like, yeah, sure. I can do that. And then if you know, and so then the $6 shirt arrives to you and you take a picture in it, and then you sit down to actually like figure out how you're going to create all this content. And it is so overwhelming that you have to do 3 different Instagram posts and a 5-frame Instagram story, and they don't want it to be an unboxing, and a whole YouTube video and whatever else they want you to do, that I have seen it so many times where the person just doesn't do it. They like do one thing and then they're like, oh, that's harder than I thought it was going to be. That's so much time. That's hours and hours and hours.
Yeah.
And then they get in trouble with the company because the company's like, hey, where's that content that you sent me? Because fun fact, guys, when you're emailing a company, those emails can be legally binding and they can bring you to court over them. Because if you email back and say, yes, I'll do that, and then you don't do it, they can sue your ass. So just a reminder.
Don't get your ass sued.
If there isn't a contract and they're a much bigger company than you, you really need to follow through with what you said you would in your email, or else you'll be screwed. Sorry.
You're good.
Lost
my
train of thought.
Basically, you know, the reason I bring up your like evolution through all this stuff is because like the topic of today is like authenticity. And I think a big part of that is where your motivation lies. And so again, like, coming out of that phase where you realize how much work it was, why are you still doing it now?
Because I really love creating content. I just love it. It's so much fun for me to think up a concept and kind of work through that entire process of like bringing it to fruition, of being like, okay, you know, I have this idea. How are we going to do this? What am I going to wear? What time of day are we going to shoot it? Where are we going to shoot it? What are we going to do with our kids during the shoot? Like, you know, everything through the editing. You know, cause sometimes you'll just see something, you know, even if it's just like you see something that you could like think up an entire photo concept with this one like random prop, or, you know, I'll see something on Pinterest that inspires me to do a shoot, or even like other creators on Instagram. I'll see things all the time that I want to create something that's visually like nice to look at. And so that's why I keep doing it. And on top of that, I really do love working with brands because I like being able to, because it forces me to be creative. And, you know, I think that it's really easy in a job like that to get like stuck in this box of doing the same exact things every single time you post. And so for me, when I work with brands, it's exciting because I get to work with brands that I love. But then on top of that, I can try really hard to think outside the box and figure out how to make the photos that I'm creating for this brand that I love, like how I can create them to be exceptional. And it's kind of like a little challenge. And so it's a lot of fun. But I mean, ultimately, it comes down to the fact that I am a creative person and I love being able to create that content.
Yeah, well, there's something super fulfilling about like being, I don't know, like doing something that you're really proud of.
Yeah.
Creating something new and like challenging yourself to do something that's above and beyond what you've seen from other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
like, it's so incredible. Like last week we were in California for my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
And I had seen, like, I had this idea based off of a photo that I saw as I was scrolling through Instagram of a photo that we could take while we were in California. And so we fully committed. We packed an entire wedding dress. We went to the beach. We asked some strangers if we could borrow their surfboard. And we took this photo. And it turned out exactly, like, it turned out better than I thought it would. It was so much fun to shoot. Even though I almost got swept out to sea. And the dress was so heavy, filled with water and sand by the time we walked back to our Airbnb. But it was so much fun. And it was so incredible to see, like, my idea just come to life exactly how I wanted it to, and then be able to post that and see other people's like excitement over the image I was able to create. Like, that is why I love creating.
That's great.
Yeah. Anyway, bye.
No. Okay, so we right here, I think you're going to take a quick break. It looks like we're about 20 minutes. I try to do break around 20 minutes. So, for this wonderful intermission here in our podcast. We have Garen Brett on as our musician that's featured. This is his single Deja Vu, and I added it to my Spotify playlist probably like a month ago. I have this habit where like I go in and I press shuffle and then I like skip through like 20 songs. His song is one of the songs I don't skip through, so that's good.
Wow.
But thank you, Garen, for letting us use this track. Garen is based out of North Salt Lake area, Salt Lake County area, Utah County area. I don't even know, somewhere around here. He's a singer-songwriter, super talented. Look him up. His name is spelled GaronBrett, Garen Brett. And the song is Deja Vu. So if you just look that up on Spotify, it should pull right up. And if you like the song, save it to your playlists. It helps him out. Maybe buy it on Apple Music. Do you still buy stuff on Apple Music or is it all streaming?
I have no idea.
I don't even know.
I have no idea.
There's like no iTunes now because they just replaced it. So I have no idea.
Yeah, I have no idea.
But I'm sure that streams help. Like, I'm sure streams help. So go and add it to your playlist. Listen to it all the time. Go over to his Instagram. I think, let me look it up really quick, because I think his Instagram is Garen Brett as well. Yeah, it's just Garen Brett. So if you go to his Instagram, he has a link in his bio to, like, his concerts. You can get tickets. Go see him live. I'm sure that he's wonderful live. I haven't heard anything else that he's sung, but I'm sure that it's great. And yeah, support our local Salt Lake, Provo, Utah scene, place, guys.
Amazing.
And enjoy.
I've been hearing about you lately. They tell me you look good, cutting a new rug, looking for new blood to flaunt in the city. But you know it drives me crazy. Playing the reruns of all the but we done. Back to the season when you used to tell me you like the way I walk, you like the way I talk. You told me I'm the only one, but now that you're moving on, jealousy coming strong. Ooh, every second got you stuck in my chest, and I see you every night in my head. When I wake up, it's just my bed. I look at my phone, but ain't nothing there, baby. I don't know, tell me what I should do. Cause baby, there's something about you. You got me spinning in deja vu. You're the only one, but now that I see you're gone, why can't I just move on? Ooh, but I keep hanging on to memories instead.
not as good of a singer as Garen.
Ugh.
Now can I say, and welcome back.
Welcome back. Thank you, Garen, for letting us use your song and your talents. It is wonderful to have you on. Hopefully, at some point, I can have actually you on. If you're interested in that, DM me. Let me know.
Garen Brett, DM my husband.
As I always say, I'd love to have musicians on here, both as a featured song, also to talk to them. So if there are any musicians out there, let me know. But once again, make sure you look up Garen Brett on Spotify, Apple Music, whatever. Go to one of his concerts if you're in the area. And follow him on Instagram, at Garen Brett. All right, moving right along. So for the second part of this, I wanted to dive into the authenticity thing. So we learned a lot about you and about your career that you've chosen. So I want to talk a little bit about staying authentic and kind of keeping your passion for the right reasons, your motivation behind the things that you do. We've talked a little bit about that. The first thing that comes to mind is the difference between, it's kind of like what I talked about in the first episode, community over competition or whatever. Having like an actual community and kind of how your work affects everybody in your field, right? And so when you are authentic, you do things the right way, you create real content that you actually care about, you stick to your contracts, you pick brands that you actually are passionate about, not just for free stuff, you don't buy followers, all these things, that can all culminate to effectively helping everybody else who is an influencer, who's trying to make it, who's trying to make money and support their families and live life. And do it the right way. You're supporting everybody that way by doing it correctly, because then the reputation of what an influencer is isn't damaged, right?
Yeah.
So I guess, I don't know, what are your thoughts on that?
So, well, I agree with what you're saying, that it's when someone in the industry like cheats the system, it does hurt everybody else.
Well, yeah, and I think that this is true for anything. Like, you even think about, like, I work in maintenance, right? And I hear stories all the time, and like just the general attitude of like people about a specific industry in like construction. It's like, oh yeah, like electricians are always this way.
Exactly.
And it's because so many of them are. It's not that every single one is.
Right.
But it's just because there's so many that do cause that kind of feeling.
Well, and it's something that we've seen a lot with my career, that if a company has worked with influencers who were inauthentic and, you know, they didn't create good content, or they, you know, had fake analytics, like they faked their engagement of their followers, they would completely write off influencer marketing and, you know, would just say like, it doesn't work. See it all the time. And it's because, especially with small companies, you know, they take this leap to work with influencers because, you know, it's not really a marketing strategy they know anything about. And then the person they pick to work with, because they don't know what they're doing, they don't know what to look for, the person they choose to work with, you know, is fake. And so it doesn't work, and they don't see the results, you know, they don't get back the money they put into it. And so, like, I don't blame them. Why would they want to keep working with influencers if it failed so horribly? So
yeah, especially when that much is on the line, like for smaller companies, if they like, they're like, okay, well, you know, we could just like spend a little here, spend a little there, do normal advertising and stuff, but I feel like influencer marketing works. I see it work for other companies. Big companies are doing it. I see it on my timeline. So, like, did I just say timeline? My feed? That's Facebook.
Also anyway, Twitter.
I guess. I call it a Twitter feed, but...
That's true.
Anyway, they think, like, okay, so it works. We're going to, like, maybe take a leap here. We're going to give this influencer who has 100,000 followers their rate of whatever that may be, usually probably over...
Over $1,000, like, for sure.
$1,000 for sure, you know? And so they're spending quite a bit of money, especially for a small business, on just this. But they hope that it will return
Right. And then it doesn't.
It doesn't. And so it's like, okay, well, we just like flushed $1,000 down the toilet and just gave it to this random girl who,
right,
like,
who bought all her
didn't
followers.
Even really post for us or, right, like, posted some picture that didn't have anything to do with,
exactly,
us.
Exactly.
So
I think it really, it is easy to lose yourself when you are making it a career, because there are a lot of, I mean, it would be so easy to take shortcuts. And I mean, I can't tell you how many times people have asked me, you know, like, a lot of people consider that first 10,000 followers to be like the big milestone, you know, like.
What's the hardest?
Well, it is, because once you get past, well, I hit 10,000 way easier than I hit like 30,000. But
yeah.
But that was because it was before the algorithm changed. But that's a different thing.
Yeah, but typically, you know, your first 100,000 is easier than your first million. Your first,
right,
million is easier than your first second million. Yeah.
Right. So, but once you hit 10K, like, you can do swipe ups. And also, like, once you hit 10K, you can usually, like, actually start charging. Before that, it's really hit or miss. I mean, after you hit 10K, it's also, you know, hit or miss. People are always going to try to convince you to do stuff for free. But, yeah, so I specifically remember a friend asking me once, straight up, she was like, I feel like I'm growing really slow and I want to be like where you are and I want to have a big account. And like, I know that I take good photos, and she really did take beautiful photos. And she was like, you know, but I only have like a few thousand followers. I think I should just buy the rest until I hit 10K, and then brands will take me seriously. And there's so many reasons not to do that, aside from the fact that it's inauthentic, but also Instagram deletes fake accounts regularly, and so you'll lose all the followers that you paid money for, which is...
And also, they'll kind of... They know when you do
that. They do, and then Instagram can... They can hide your stuff. They'll make growth impossible, and then when those accounts do get deleted, then you'll, you know, be stuck, and you won't be able to grow because your account's hidden. So it's really just a bad idea all around, but it does seem appealing. And I think, yeah, or same with like buying likes or comments or like whatever metric you could buy,
follow, unfollow,
right, doing follow, unfollow, like
things,
all of those
that
things
you're doing just for gain.
And I think what that comes down to is you have to remember why you're doing it, because if you're doing it just to seek approval of like internet strangers, that's not the right motivation, and you're not going to be doing things for the right reason. And same if you just want like a bigger number for, I mean, it's not a bad thing to have goals. Like, it's not a bad thing to be like, I want to hit this number, you know, because like in any other career, like the higher number of followers you have, the more money you can make. And also, some companies won't work with people unless they have a certain amount of followers. And so it does open those doors. And so it's not a bad thing to have those goals. But if you are just pushing the envelope ethically, trying to get to that bigger number for the sake of having bigger numbers, then you like really need to take a step back and reevaluate. And you know, this career really is not for everyone, obviously, because otherwise everybody would be doing it. I think that's what it really comes down to, is everyone will say like, oh, it's so easy. But if it was so easy, everyone would be doing it. And so yeah, it's not as easy as it seems on a surface level. And that's part of the career, is making it look easy. Like, you want it to look like, oh yeah, my life is just curated and beautiful and, you know, all this stuff. But I do think it's really easy to slip into inauthenticity.
Inauthenticity.
Yeah. When you have a career in social media, because you want,
well,
you have to keep up appearances.
I think with almost any job, it's really, I mean, it's basically the same thing as like, if you're working at a job and the job has rules and you break those rules to make your job easier.
Mm.
And like, I'm not saying that you should follow every single dumb rule that your boss made, you know, but with this, it comes down to
like you shouldn't embezzle money.
Yeah,
so
obviously,
like,
obviously.
So or, like, you shouldn't buy followers, because that's, I don't know, I feel like that's about as dishonest, because if you're buying followers, then a company will come to you and pay you for like 70,000 followers worth of, you know, whatever, when really you have like 30,000 followers, like that are real followers. And so mm-hmm. that's hundreds of dollars that you are basically stealing from that company that you've tricked them into thinking
you're
worth.
It's like saying, okay, I'm going to run this TV ad And a million people are going to see it. I know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm dead certain at least a million people will see it. And they're like, oh, dope. Here's the money. Like, let's do that. A million people seeing our ad is great. And then you run the ad and you knew the whole time that only like 30,000 people were going to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's basically the same thing. Or like,
yeah,
lying to somebody about how many people drive past a billboard, or lying to somebody about like how many people visit your website, things right. like that. So it's, I don't know, or even it's basically the same thing as like sending somebody your analytics and photoshopping it.
Right. Like, which I, maybe this is really naive of me, but I did not realize people did, like, yeah. until very recently. Someone mentioned to me that they knew someone that like had photoshopped analytics and sent it into a brand. And I mean, it must be, I felt so stupid for, I seriously was like, people do that? Because
yeah.
I feel like that's so much effort to go into for, I mean, the thing is that I feel like that's so much effort to go into to not only trick brands into working with you, but then also to Photoshop your analytics to make it look better than it is, that you could just spend that energy instead on like finding an audience organically and like yeah. working on increasing your impressions organically.
Why spend all your time lying when you could just actually do it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so like it seems like the easy way out for sure, you know, like, oh, I could just lie about this, but if you put in that time, then it'll be easier in the long run because you won't have to keep lying forever about, you know, how many followers you have or how many likes you're getting or how many impressions or whatever. Like you can,
yeah, I always emphasize to you, and you know this,
mm-hmm.
that like no matter how hard it gets, like maybe we're having a really rough month, or like things aren't working out the way that we wanted them to, or like maybe a brand that we really, 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 really wanted to work with will not work with us. And we're in those moments as humans, we feel like, okay, if I want to get what I want, I have to, like, I got to cheat.
Mm-hmm.
Like you always have that urge, you know, because we're human, we're mm-hmm. fallible, infallible, fallible, I think is correct.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I mean, and I,
so, sorry.
Oh no, I was just going to say, it's not like it's not like available. Like I get DMs every single day from accounts being like, hey, do you want me to boost your growth? Or like, I can get you more likes. Your page deserves more likes. Or
yeah, it's very tempting.
And like, and emails. And I mean, I'm just constantly like berated with, I can get you followers, I can get you likes, I can get you whatever. And like every once in a while when you're having like a really rough day, you know, you're tempted for a second where you're like, yeah, wouldn't that be so easy? But then if you think about just the amount of money you would spend on those fake whatever would build up so much over time that you could spend that money on things that would actually help you, like boosting your posts or like investing in education. Right. Like, you know,
or even like buying props for a photo shoot.
Right, exactly. Or, like, you know, like, or spending money, like on, like, even if you spent money on like a shout out for a page, like, I feel like that's even more, I mean, I've never done that, but I feel like that's yeah. even more like better use of your money because you're, because
and like almost in those, anything, there's good and bad ways to do
right,
that.
Right, yes.
Like there are accounts that they have you pay for a shout out and then they donate that money to charity. I follow a couple of those.
Yeah.
Like there's this, super great ways to do things. People always have good ideas.
I had forgotten about this. Like a year ago, this company, like I got a DM on Instagram from a shout out page and they were like, hey, we want to like, you know, these are our rates. We'd love to like shout out one of your pages. And I was like having a weak moment and I was like, okay, like, yeah, like, what are your rates? Like, tell me. And so they tell me their rates and they have like five different pages, right? And mm-hmm. their rates are all the same for all of them, but they're like all of their followings are wildly different.
Interesting.
And so like, you know, one of them, so they like DM me from the one that has like millions of followers, right? But then they have like a few that have like 30,000 followers or like 100,000, you know, like they're all like within ranges. And so I was like, okay, so this is the rate for all of them. And they're like, yeah, you'll pay us. And then we'll just post it on one of the pages. And I was like, well, do I get to pick? Like, and they were like, and they straight up said, I said, okay, well, do I get to pick? Because this account at username is the one I'd want to like you to post me on. And they replied, you stupid bitch. And then didn't reply after that. I replied, excuse
me? Hardcore.
And then they just didn't reply because I saw right through it. Because you all know that if I had paid that money, they would have put me on their page that had like 30,000 followers. Yeah. And been like, well, it's just random or something. But random. I took a screenshot of it because I was like, for real? It was really funny. But anyway.
Well, yeah. So I guess, I don't know, the last thing that I will say about this as far as the negative side, like being inauthentic, mm-hmm. is like kind of going back to what we were saying earlier, you know, when you're inauthentic, you hurt the industry, you yeah. create problems for other people. Like when you cheat the system, you're basically taking an opportunity away from somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen that mm-hmm. multiple times, even recently,
yeah.
like people that we know have bought followers that have successfully worked with a brand, and then as soon as that brand has worked with them, that brand is turned off to all future possibilities, at least for the time being,
right? Because they were so off put by,
and they don't know, the brand doesn't know why it's not working,
right? And because so they just assume the person's
not like, oh hey, like I bought all my followers, that's why it's not working,
like, right?
Like, I'm just gonna tell,
because the
that.
Thing is, if someone is gonna be putting through the effort again, all this wasted time and effort and money that you could, you know, be spending on actually improving your Instagram account.
Yeah, it's like, obviously, to the company who has marketing professionals, they're like, this is the dumbest thing we've ever done, and let's just keep on running billboard ads and TV spots and
right,
things like that,
right.
'Cause this is stupid.
Well, like, yeah, and the thing is that people who are doing this, who are lying, are working really hard to make it look like they're not lying.
Yeah.
And so...
because they don't want anybody
right.
to
and
know.
So, I mean, to, like, an average person, it's not going to be obvious when someone is, like, buying followers or likes.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, so just don't cheat. Don't be fake. Do things the right way.
It might take longer,
no matter
but
what you're
in the
doing,
long run, it's like, better for you.
This is not applicable to just Instagram. I always say this on every single episode. It's not just applicable to the thing we're talking about. Like I said earlier, like there's certain, like, I guess you could call them, what is the word? Like, I can't even think of the word.
I'm not
going
to be,
like,
able to tell you the word. I'm tipsy.
For some reason, I'm thinking socialism, but it's not socialism.
Nope.
It's like when you think a certain thing is a certain way because of connotations. Like, nerds are this way. Like, people are nerds because of
stereotypes.
This. Stereotypes. That's
socialism.
So. You kind of create a stereotype for the industry that you're in if you're doing something wrong, like that general contractors are really whiny.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are. Doesn't mean that every single one is. Or like actors are freaking crazy people.
Right.
Who are super dramatic. And
right.
Like, that's not true about every single person that acts. Like, I don't know. You know what I'm
yeah.
saying? So it's like, every single industry has that type of a thing happen,
mm-hmm.
and it's up to the good ones in the industry to just keep on doing the right thing and being as real as possible. And so I guess to finish up, I just want to end on a positive note. I feel like you're fading fast after finishing that glass of wine.
I am. I'm so sorry.
Anyway,
I finished it too fast.
Yeah.
I feel like
so I just
want
to
face.
Speak on, like, what comes from being authentic. Like, what is... why is it worth it? Like,
it's worth it because I think, I mean, I'm still in the middle of it. Like, I am not at a point where I feel like my success is effortless. Like, I mean, not that it ever will be, but like, I feel like I'm still putting in more than I'm getting back at this point
yeah.
in my career. And I know that eventually I'll get to a point where my, you know, audience is growing without me putting in extra effort, you know, and brands are coming to me without me having to go to them, like that sort of thing. What was the question?
Well, I guess just what?
Oh,
what
yeah.
are the benefits of being authentic? Why?
Well,
why
and so,
even do it? Like, we've talked about the bad things,
right?
Like, obviously, well, there are bad things, but when you do things the right way,
when you do things the right way, things get easier, and so you have to work harder in the beginning, but then in the long run, you will have. Again, like I said, like, it would be so exhausting to feel like you have to buy followers and likes for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be so expensive. And I mean, I don't know how much like followers and likes go for, but I would assume eventually it would really add up. And so that's just not sustainable. And so, like over time, as you put in that time authentically, like really just grinding and, you know, doing what you can, eventually you will see that return, and then your career will grow without nearly as much effort. And so I think that's why it's really important. And also, you, when you're authentic, you gain the trust of your audience, your clients, the people you work with, because they know that you're authentic and they know that you're trustworthy. And so I think that's another huge reason is your reputation is, I mean, your reputation is everything. And, you know, you could have hundreds of thousands of followers, and if everyone knows that you're like a lying asshole, then no one's going to want to work with you. And so then all of that time and effort you put in, whether you did it correctly or not, is not going to be worth anything, because you'll be still doing brand deals for $100 each and like $17 worth of candles, because you're not like, because nobody likes you.
Oh, okay. I was confused about that sentence for a second.
No, because that's the payment.
No, I got you. Yeah. So be real. Be authentic. Do things the right way.
Don't be...
Be the tortoise and the tortoise in the hare. Slow and steady wins the race. It's very rare... Specifically speaking about like internet personalities, the people that you see who are like millions of followers, like the big names on the internet that we know, everybody knows about, those people, like that, they are kind of the exception. We just barely watched, what is it? He's Just Not That Into You.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's on my mind for sort of.
Yeah,
they're the exception, not the rule. You're the rule.
Yeah, and the rule is that you're...
The rule is that you work hard, and it's slow and steady, and, like, after... For most people, after, like, 5 to 10 years of doing this every day, over and over, and feeling like you don't know why it's not working, and you feel like you're working so hard, and, like, everything's... Like, things aren't working out, and da-da-da-da, eventually, one day, you will hit that lucky break. But it's not the way it seems. Like... Those people who are big either have done that, just like I said, they've been on that platform for that long.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you think about Mr. Beast. I don't know how many people that listen to me that know him, but he was on YouTube from the time he was a teenager, like 13, 14 years old, posting Minecraft videos and stuff like that. And he would post constantly, and he had everybody telling him that it was the dumbest thing for him to spend time on. And now he's like one of the biggest YouTubers out there.
Yeah.
And it's because he did whatever he wanted. He was true to himself. He like made videos that were what he wanted to make, and he just kept doing it, even though everybody said not to.
And I think of Amber Fillerup, who like in the Instagram world is a little bit of a household name. She has like, I think, 1.4 million followers, and she's been doing it, I think, for like 12 years at this point.
Yeah.
And she, I remember listening to a podcast episode that she did where she said that she didn't really, like, she felt like she had made it. Like, she started, you know, like, she got to where she was like, oh, this is, like, my career now, and I'm, like, doing well for myself. After five, I actually want to say it was, like, 7 years in that she was like, oh, okay.
Now it's
like,
paying off.
Yeah, like now it's paying off. And so it's just like with any other business where people will say like you're not going to break, like in most cases, you won't break a profit even, for even 5 years.
For the first, yeah.
Right. And so it's like you can't expect to do it for a year. In most cases, again, there are exceptions, but the rule is that in most cases you will spend years building your business, even if it is just becoming even if internet your business famous.
Is you. Yeah.
Right. Like before you really start seeing that return. Yeah. Like, where you feel like you made it.
The truth of it. There's very few people who post one video and immediately get millions of followers or post five videos.
We can't all be Indie Blue.
It's very rare. Indie is,
I love you, Indie. Indie
is great. There's a reason, obviously, but...
Obviously. Oh, yeah. Indie deserves it, but...
So do a lot of other people.
But so do a lot of other people.
And that's
so.
Okay, but they just have to remember, like, these people did not get where they got to by cheating.
Yeah.
Like... Amber Phillip did not get that many followers mm-mm. by cheating. She worked hard for a really long time.
And
12
so did
years,
Indy.
Not 12 months. 12
right,
years.
Right.
And, like, I think a lot of that work is just shadowed and, like, you don't really see it.
Because yeah, because you don't see it.
You don't see that person until they're famous. Like, mm-hmm. because they're famous,
so
you now see them on your timeline.
So
you seem like, oh my gosh, this random celebrity is on my timeline. They've always been famous. They all, like,
right. And you don't see those years and years where they were eating nothing but ramen and,
yeah.
you know, like living in their parents' basement to support
themselves.
And you
also don't see the years when they were technically practicing their craft and doing the things that, like, have got them to where they are
mm-hmm.
before they even realized that that's where it was going to take them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you think about, like, people who say they've been, like, doing photography for 2 years or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but they've been using cameras since they were a kid.
Yeah.
Like, or people like Indy, who it's like,
she's
yeah,
been,
I've been making videos since, like, what was it, like, 5 years ago?
Something.
6 years ago? I don't know.
But it was senior year,
Indy
so like seven,
has
five,
always
five,
had a passion for video.
Oh, yeah,
and
so she was
always
like a
been
very
making
young
videos.
Child.
Like, the reason that her videos, like, hit such a amazing, like, nostalgic, beautiful, like,
mm-hmm.
vibe with those videos
was because,
she has footage from, like, forever ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, how did you plan for this? And it's kind of the same reason why Casey Neistat's videos are that way, because
mm-hmm.
he's always taken videos
exactly.
of everything. And now he's using that footage, but it's like, they've been doing this for, like, 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, like, overnight.
Yeah. No, we stand a prepared
yeah.
queen.
So, anyway.
Be
good,
authentic.
Good hit. Good thing to end on.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Go follow Aurora.
Yes. My Instagram is at Aurora McCausland. And not to plug this.
She has a podcast also.
Oh, I was going to plug something else.
And she has a guide.
Yes. So, I just this last week released a guide on Instagram, like, on how to grow your Instagram following.
It's literally about this.
It's episode, literally,
basically.
I mean, well, it goes
it's about being authentic
so much
in
more.
All the different.
Right.
Like,
but anyway, you don't, like, have to go buy it, but if you do, like, I'll love you.
I guess what I mean is that it's like an authentic guide to Instagram. It's
yes.
not like these are some fun tips and tricks on how to get famous.
It's like nitty gritty, like, these are exact steps that you can take to, like
these are
grow
proven,
an authentic following.
Tested true,
yeah.
things that I've done over the past 5 years, things I've learned over
yeah.
the past 5 years.
And on my, it's linked on my Instagram. So if you follow
it's linked
me
on my Instagram.
Yeah. So my Instagram is at Aurora McCausland. I tag Seth in all my photos, so if you just go to his tagged photos, you can find me. But it's linked on
or
my
vice
Instagram.
Versa.
That's true. and if you go to it on my website, it has the first two pages available for you to look at, so you can kind of see what it's about and all that stuff before you commit to it. But not to brag, but it will be the best investment you ever make in your life. So
yeah, and since you're promoting it, then, like, if you put in the code PURSUIT at checkout, you'll get $5 off.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
I didn't know I was doing that until just now, but
I just
approve.
Dumped that on her.
I mean, Seth runs my website, so
yeah,
he can kind of do whatever he wants.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'd love to have a few of you learn my...
Yeah, if you really want to grow on Instagram or
not
grow
even
in
just
social
as an
media,
influencer,
or,
yeah.
Like, if you're a photographer, if you're somebody who feels like having a social media following will help your business, like, if you're a company
mm-hmm.
who wants to do that, her guide goes over a lot of things that are super helpful. So
yeah, it does.
I know, because I've read it.
It's true.
Yeah. Have I read it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I have read it. Anyway, so yeah, follow Aurora at Aurora McCausland. You can find her really easily through the Pursuit Pod Instagram, or also through my Instagram. And follow Garen Brett at Garen Brett on Spotify, on Apple Music, on Instagram, all those places. Also, check out Aurora's website,
www.auroramccausland.com.
We make everything really easy.
I know.
Great.
It's just my name, guys.
It's just her name. Just learn her name.
I mean, if you can figure out how to spell my last name and my first name, you're golden.
And be true to yourself. Good night.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Good day. Good day,
hello.
Sir. Good day. Thank you, sir.
Okay.